Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about the doctrine of the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is not a doctrine that began with Jesus Christ, but it is definitely a doctrine that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The resurrection is basically the doctrine that reverses the physical effects of the sin of Adam. All right, the result of his sin was death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." If you read in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam's sin, and then the effects of the fall are being pronounced by the Lord on the devil and then on the woman and then on Adam. God says in Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground." There you go. "For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." So that's the effect, that there is the sin of Adam created this return to the dust, this death, physically and spiritually as well, but since we're talking about the resurrection, physically. It also messed up and corrupted creation. We read about that in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 to 25. So the resurrection provides the way for saints who have died to live again. And there's some folks in the Bible that knew this. Abraham knew it. In Genesis chapter 22, God tempts Abraham and tells him to take his only begotten son and sacrifice him. And Abraham knew from Genesis chapter 15 that this seed that he had in Isaac would eventually produce enough offspring to be as the stars of heaven for multitude. He knew that. So when the Lord told him to go sacrifice him, Abraham realized that in order for the fulfillment of the prophecy to be true, Isaac could not die. He would have to rise. Or Abraham would end up with a substitute sacrifice and he wouldn't have to kill him. Look in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. "Abraham said unto his young men," the ones that rode there with him and Isaac, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." The subject never changes. "I and the lad will come again to you." He knew that he was coming up. As a matter of fact, when you read Hebrews, Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17, 18, and 19, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." He knew he was coming up. That's why Abraham told the young men to stay there, and that "I and the lad will return." Now, in Abraham's case, he believed that the resurrection was fairly instantaneous. That is, if I end up having to sacrifice him in short order, just a day or two or three, the lad will come up. That's why he told those men to wait. In other words, more like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this resurrection actually typifies the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Isaac is his only begotten son. You read that here in Hebrews. Isaac carries the wood. Jesus Christ carried his cross. And so many other things. Matter of fact, if you study out the land of Moriah and the mountains that are there and the fact that the Temple Mount is on the Mount of Moriah in 2 Chronicles 3:1, you realize undoubtedly the place where this sacrifice took place was Calvary, where Jesus Christ was killed and crucified. So Abraham knew of the resurrection. Job, who was written long before Genesis was ever written, he knew of the resurrection. In Job chapter 19, Job is, I mean, he is suffering bitterly with the disease in his flesh. And he says in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand, watch it, at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So he says, worms are destroying this body, yet in my flesh, that's a bodily resurrection, shall I see God. When my Redeemer stands at the latter day upon the earth. So Job knew about a resurrection, but he placed the resurrection, you know, by the inspiration of God, he placed that resurrection at the latter day, when his Redeemer is standing on the earth. Well, that's going to be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look in Ezekiel and notice something else. Ezekiel knew of the resurrection. Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 37, from verse 1 to verse 14, we are reading about a prophecy of Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, the valley which was full of bones. And these bones were dry, the Bible says in verse 2, they were very dry. And the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy upon these bones. He said, I'm going to cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, in verse 5. Verse 6, I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So he prophesies, and the skin covers them above, but there's no breath in him. Verse 9, he prophesies to the winds, and they bring in the breath. And they stood up upon their feet, in verse 10, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now do you see that? Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. So the timing of Ezekiel's resurrection is the same as the timing of Job's resurrection. It's when the Redeemer comes. He's going to cause the saints in Israel to rise, and they're going to inherit the land. I'm just telling you now, the two-state solution is not the solution. The solution is for Jesus to come and for Israel to occupy the land, and they will. Now, Ezekiel was written about 573 B.C., and he prophesied that when this resurrection took place, you know who would be king over Israel? David. Look in Ezekiel 37, verse 24. And David my servant shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Well, David had been dead for 442 years. He died in 1015 B.C., and this was written around 573 B.C. And, you know, even when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, Peter tells the audience, the Jewish audience there in verse 29, that David was still in the sepulcher. And today, right now, he's still in that sepulcher. Why? Because he hasn't fulfilled this prophecy. But he will. David's been in that sepulcher for 3,030 years. But he's coming up. And he's coming up at a time when the divided kingdoms of the house of Israel and the house of Jacob will be united as one. In the context of Ezekiel 37, you see the prophecy of a stick, two sticks, one for Judah and one for Ephraim, and they are joined together in verse 17 of Ezekiel 37 until they become another one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. That is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, concerning the new covenant when Israel is back together in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied of this resurrection in Isaiah chapter 26. Now the context, if you'll read Isaiah chapter 26, verses 12 to 21, you'll see that the context of Isaiah's prophecy is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all through that chapter. But in Isaiah chapter 26, you see the typical tribulation prophecy concerning a woman with child in verse 17 that draweth near the time of her delivery. That's Israel getting ready to for the rebirth of the nation. You'll see that prophecy nearly a dozen times in the Bible in the context of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 19. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. It is the resurrection at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Isaiah prophesied about it as well. So Job knew of a resurrection, and he said, at the latter day when my Redeemer is standing on the earth, I'm going to see him in my flesh. Ezekiel knew and preached that bodily resurrection, and so did Isaiah. Now, Daniel also knew there would be a resurrection, but Daniel's prophecy concerning the resurrection is of a different time. In Daniel chapter 12 speaks of a resurrection of those that come out of the dust. He says in verse 2, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All right, unlike Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Job's prophecy, Daniel's prophecy is a final resurrection, which is right before the white throne judgment. You read about this in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. A lot of evangelistic preaching says at the white throne that everybody's going to be cast into the lake of fire, but that's not so. Everybody that's dead, that's still in a grave, and is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, everybody comes up. I saw the dead, small and great, verse 12, stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So some of these guys that have done well are going to go into everlasting life. The ones that were not written in the book of life, the Bible says in verse 15, were cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you've got a judgment here that includes those that are going to go into life everlasting and those that go into an eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus Christ speaks of this particular resurrection in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. These are the ones that are being judged out of the book of their works. Now, Daniel knew about that resurrection, and it concerns the white throne judgment, and Jesus Christ spoke of it right here in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Now, Martha also knew about a resurrection at the last day. I really suppose that Martha is aware of the prophecies from Ezekiel and Isaiah that concern Israel. But she doesn't really say, you know, what day. She just says at the last day, it could be the final resurrection. Notice when Jesus Christ comes to see Lazarus after he has died, Martha approaches him and says, you know, if you'd been here, my brother hadn't died. And Jesus said to her in John chapter 11, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Notice what Martha says in verse 24. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she was aware of a resurrection, but she doesn't specify the last day, if that's millennial reign of Jesus Christ or white throne judgment. Now, when Jesus Christ contended with the Sadducees, who deny the resurrection in Luke chapter 20, he explained that even Moses knew of the resurrection. And he explains that in Luke chapter 20, verses 37 and 38. And he tells them this because they're priding themselves on following Moses' law. And they don't believe in the resurrection. Luke 20, 27 says, the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. Okay, they ask him a question concerning the resurrection. And in answering that question, the Lord finally says to them in verse 37 and 38, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he's not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. So there, Jesus says even Moses knew. And the funny thing about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they pride themselves on keeping Moses' law, and they pride themselves on following Abraham as their father. And both of these men believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees don't. Strange thing. Now, none of the people, none of the saints that died in the Old Testament could come up out of their graves until Jesus died and rose again, because in him is eternal life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verses 21 and 22. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, you see, the problem is death reigned after Adam, and the person to break the reign of death is Jesus Christ. I'll turn right now to Romans chapter 5. We quoted verse 12 to you earlier. And in verse 14, and also in verse 17, you know what the Bible says? Nevertheless, death reigned. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. So Jesus Christ had to break the reign of death. And he did that by rising from the dead out of his own grave. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, you see Jesus Christ is putting down in verse 24 all rule and all authority and all power. Verse 25 says he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And verse 26 says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So death is an enemy. It is a power. It is an authority. It is a rule. And it holds everybody until Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Then the reign of death was, Jesus Christ had a victory over it. And then it gave him the possibility, not a possibility, but the ability at a later time, which he will do, of putting the reign of death away forever. Now, there were some men, some saints of the Old Testament, that raised up at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what happened to their bodies the night after they rose up. I don't know if the Lord took them to heaven or if they ended up back in their graves. That was a very mighty resurrection, though, I'll tell you that. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 53, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Watch it. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holiest city, and appeared unto many. Oh, he got a bunch of guys that were Old Testament saints running around there in the holy city saying, oh, we're up. Resurrection, death has been defeated. Now, they may have had to go back in there and sleep. I know their souls were taken up to heaven. We're going to see that in a minute. Not sure exactly what happened to their bodies. But except for that night, I know they were up. Now, there are a couple of exceptions in the Old Testament. Enoch is the one exception. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So he doesn't go through death. Death doesn't reign over him because God changed his body. He'll never die. The other exception is Elijah. He didn't die either, but he's going to come back during the tribulation and die as one of the witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. The other person who's going to come back in Revelation as one of the witnesses is Moses. And that's where the trouble between Michael and the devil arose in Jude verse 9. You see, when you read Deuteronomy and you get to the last chapter, Moses dies, but they can't find his sepulcher. Yet in Matthew chapter 17, he's standing there with Elijah talking to Jesus Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration. You wonder, well, how did his body get there? It got there because in Jude 9, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You see, the devil has the power of death, and death reigned, and yet Michael came to take that body out of there, and he's like, whoa, you can't have that body. But he took it, because God had need of it, and he's going to use it. Now, you know what? Moses will die in the tribulation with Elijah as one of the witnesses, and so that ended the argument there with the devil. All of this basically tells us then that Jesus Christ truly is, according to Colossians 1:18, the firstborn from the dead. Because he's the only one, or the first one to ever rise from the dead who will never die again. And thank God we're going to rise from the dead and we're never going to die again. Now, until Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, the souls of the Old Testament saints were kept in Abraham's bosom. They didn't go to heaven when they died. They went in Luke chapter 16. They went to Abraham's bosom. And you see that by a fellow named Lazarus, not the same one we've just talked about, not Mary and Martha's brother. But this poor guy named Lazarus. And in Luke chapter 16, when he dies, the Bible says in verse 22 that the angels, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It's a compartment in the heart of the earth. The rich man also died and was buried, but he went to hell. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So in the Old Testament, people that were not saints went to hell, and people that were saints went to another compartment called Abraham's bosom, and they were separated by a great gulf, and they were held down there until Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us that when Jesus Christ died, his soul went into the lower parts of the earth. He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And in verse 8, we see that he ascended up on high, and when he did, he led captivity captive. All right, well, those were the souls of the Old Testament saints, and he raised with them. Now, here's something very interesting. You say, well, how long after his resurrection was it before he took him up? Well, he took him up at his ascension. But not the ascension that he had 40 days after his resurrection. I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus Christ actually ascended the day of his resurrection, went up and came back in the same day. You say, well, how do you know that? You know that because in John chapter 20, on the day of his resurrection, in John chapter 20, Mary sees him. That's the interchange between Jesus and Mary when Mary thought he was the gardener. When she realizes that he is master, when he is Rabboni, she gets ready to approach him, and Jesus said to her in John chapter 20, verse 17, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So Mary Magdalene leaves to tell the disciples. All right, when they go to tell the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 7 through 9, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So in just a short period of time, Jesus is gone and already come back. That's quick travel. And then he lets them touch him. And that's when the Old Testament saints, the souls of the Old Testament saints, not their bodies, their souls, went to heaven. Now, in spite of all these prophecies, when Jesus told his disciples that he would rise in 3 days, they didn't know what to make of that saying. They didn't believe him. As a matter of fact, when Peter rebuked Jesus about that, the Lord had to tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. The thief on the cross, oddly, is one who caught it. He turns to Jesus, and he's looking at a dead man or a dying man, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He figured it out. And the Lord today said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So the thief goes down into Abraham's bosom, and 3 days later he rises up with the souls of the Old Testament saints and goes to be in heaven when the Lord ascended. And now the disciples really had a hard time with it. They didn't believe it, even after Mary and the two men on the road to Emmaus report that they had seen Jesus Christ. But the problem is, they were looking something further out in time, like the Old Testament prophets prophesied, like Martha was looking. It was that 3-day resurrection that really threw them off. Now, by the time they figured it out in Acts chapter 2, and they understood that Psalm 16 verses 8 through 11 applied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, like Abraham's understanding of the resurrection shortly after, okay, the death, then they got it. And by that time, when they had it, they were willing to die for the doctrine of the resurrection. And many of them did. It's a wonderful doctrine. For us, right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we go up in the rapture. Spiritually, we've already been raised with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our bodies just have to catch up after death, and they will. From 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see our rapture before the tribulation and right around the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it all fits together perfectly. What a wonderful doctrine, this doctrine of the resurrection that we've been able to study today. Hope it's been a help to you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.